And something that I also love that you did here is your collaboration with Ryan Sims Photography and Wins on one of these edits to bring Wins to life this story, this storytelling battle between you and cosplayer I Weirded as Hobgoblin. Ooh. Dude,
oh,
these yes are amazing, dude. These are phenomenal from every aspect, dude. A job well done on everyone's part, man. You guys are colliding atop the high-rises or rather in between the high-rises. Mid-air of New York, smoke everywhere, goblin on the glider, dude.
It's that has phenomenal. Been my best accomplishment.
Tried to catch it. Didn't work out. But we're leaving it. Make sure the camera's focused. If you guys see me doing this throughout the duration, I'm just trying to make sure things are in focus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast. Yes! Take a drink, ladies and gentlemen, of our Side Project mugs. In unison. I love it. I don't think I'm in focus. I think it's trying to focus on the background. I actually can't tell today. I'm rocking a sweater, man. I feel like it's been so long since we've been rocking any hoodies in general or anything. At least where I live, you know. At least where I'm at right now in California, it's November? End of November? It's the end of November, and like sometimes it's still like 80, 90 degrees out and whatnot. It's ridiculous, man. You know I like my hoodies, but if you want to look as amazing as I do, then that's definitely going to require you to visit the Side Project merch store. Hit the Run It Up music, where you can get all of these beautiful mugs that you see on the screen right now, and they taste like, what is it again? It's glory. This one tastes like glory. This one tastes like success, and this one tastes like sexualization. And you can also get the Project Things hoodie that's out right now. This one's don't go buy this one. This one's printed a little bit high. This was a test one. The real ones are going to be printed a little bit lower, so they kind of rub your nipples a little bit and it makes you feel amazing. If you want to get the new Project Gears merch, I never know which way to do this.
This way?
Maybe we should try it this way. You know what? This is what we'll do instead. We'll just hold it up. If you want to get the new Project Gears merch, you can get this available in a tee, available in a beanie as well. The first time that I've had a beanie on the store and available in a hoodie as well. I don't think it's in anything else. It might be in a tank too. I really don't know. But if you want to get those, you can get those on the Side Project merch store right now. I feel like we're having technical difficulties today. Forgive me if this keeps happening. I may have to stop and fix it. Let me try to block all the other faces here. Come on, focus on me. You guys like that close? Should I change the camera angles? There we go. I think we're good. But enough about that. Side Project merch, so you can get all the awesome stuff. It's up there right now. And once again, we're not in focus. What is happening today? But all right, let's move on from that, because my guest this week is a top-notch contributor to the cosplay community, allowing us to feast our eyes on his creations, his cosplays, his collaborations, and more. From epic edits of him as Spider-Man battling a hobgoblin through the high-rises of New York to speeding through the pages of DC as The Flash, with his amazing cosplays as Wolverine or the microscopic Ant-Man, to donning a phenomenal Robin or creating and becoming Blue Beetle. If it's one thing about this gentleman that I know, it's that whether it's Spider-Man, Wolverine, Ant-Man, Robin, Blue Beetle, we can definitely count on him to be a plethora of our favorite animal and insect-inspired characters, that's for sure. I think next up is Man-Bat, and then maybe the Tick. Who knows? In another long time coming, he's been a previous Cosplay of the Week here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together and give a warm welcome to Ecto Titan.
Thank you for that, man. I really appreciate it. It's a real honor to be here today.
Oh, man, it's awesome to have you, dude. This is another long time coming, man. This year, we are just knocking them down and knocking them out, man, getting everybody off the checklist, man. How's the day been treating you, dude? How you feeling?
Oh, it's been good. It's a Friday, man. We got to love Fridays here.
Yes, exactly. I love it. Speaking of things that I love, man, we got to talk about your Wolverine cosplays, dude. And I say Wolverine cosplays plural because you've got more than one iteration, man. And in a time where Wolverine cosplays are like at all time high because of Hugh Jackman's return with the upcoming Deadpool 3, you were actually doing it a little bit before that hype was truly, you know, back, if you could say. You had your classic yellow and blue version in 2021 looking absolutely amazing. And I actually dig the, like, the strap going down over the shoulder there. And then the way that the suit accentuates, like, the pecs and everything. It makes me want to grab mine and go, what's happening? Then in 2022, something that I really dig is that something that you don't see too much of, that people don't really do that often, in my opinion. There's a few out there, of course, but that more so brown and yellow, that brown and gold, if you will, Wolverine cosplay. This suit is just phenomenal, man, from head to toe, with the red belt and everything as well. And then lastly, you've also done the black and yellow, that version, the Alex Ross Wolverine, Earth 1034. And this thing is awesome too, man, from head to toe, dude, with the feral, like suit going on there from Alex Ross, like the triangular things going on. I love that. I want to go a little out of order here with the Wolvie cosplays, man. And I want to fan out myself a little bit and focus on two of them, because one just happens to be some of my personal favorites. And then two, because it's not often that you see people doing the brown and gold version or the Alex Ross version. And I think Wolverines are a little hard to pull off, man, in my opinion, to not have them look too cheesy. And you did it justice for sure in every iteration. What made you want to go the route of the brown and gold as well as the Alex Ross iteration?
Actually, the brown and gold suit has forever been my least favorite Wolverine suit. At least,
really,
when you looked at it in the comics, I didn't like that it wasn't a regular cut sleeve. Like, right, you could see part of his chest, and yeah. I found it so weird so much time. But then I realized, hey, maybe this is, I mean, it is Wolverine's longest running costume. Yeah. Like, he wore it for the longest in the comics.
Yeah,
and I figured, like, well, eventually I'm going to have to do it. And I know I fell in love with it. Well, I fell in love with the design from a sideshow statue that came out. Yeah. I remember it had like a steel toe boot. And other viewers could correct me if I'm wrong. But I remember that statue and I said, oh shit, you could actually pull it off. Like, yeah, bring it to life. The one thing that I took upon myself is that that version, I saw it on a Spider-Man cartoon when Disney XD came out. It was Spider-Man,
yeah,
where he was voiced by Drake Bell.
Yeah.
So when Wolverine was featured, there was two times. And one of the times he had a sleeve covering his arms. Mm-hmm. And I remember, oh, that's a nice little detail that you could pull off to make it different from the other people that have done the brown and gold suit. I bought the fabric online, bought the brown pleather, made it entirely, most of it myself. Everything that was bought was the cowl from the master, Reeves Effects. He's done an amazing work over there. His work has been seen in Bat in the Sun and Superpower Beatdown and other stuff.
Right, yeah.
So it used to be my least favorite version until I did it. I didn't expect their reaction to be so outstanding.
Like, not, warm and receptive. Yeah, people loved it.
I thought, like, this is something that people have seen before and it wouldn't be anything new. But a lot of people actually, like you mentioned, it's their favorite. And I have a lot of friends, cosplay friends in the community that have told me, oh, this is my favorite cosplay that you've ever done.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm starting to, I mean, I agree with it since a while back.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I really appreciate it. You mentioned the other one was the Alex Ross version, the variant. I remember, like, holy shit, this is the one Wolverine suit that I haven't seen anybody do. At the time, there was this cosplay maker that was getting a lot of motion. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be like, hey, maybe I should give it a shot. And if I do, it would have to be a Wolverine with muscles inside the suit. Like, using a muscle suit under.
Right, yeah.
I don't normally wear or use muscle suits. I mean, I didn't, because I used to be a little thicker. You've probably seen in the pictures. So yeah, I give it a shot. I wrote to the cosplay creator and I go like, hey, is this something that you think you could be able to pull off? He showed me the different screen printed fabrics. There's this other maker that makes the cows. He makes latex cows. Mm-hmm. I I'm used to urethane, but given latex, and a friend of mine had another product from this maker. He's from Argentina. I don't remember his name.
The one that made the cowl for the Alex Ross one?
For the cowl. Yeah.
The suit? Mascaras? Mascaras? I don't know how it's pronounced.
Yes.
Mascaras?
Okay, Mascaras, yeah. Cowls Comics. He's from Argentina.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, shit. So, my family's from Argentina.
Oh,
that's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's from over there. He was pretty cool about it. I sent him a sketch for the design. Mm-hmm. I go like, hey, could you make this as a custom one? Because there's no other Wolverine. There's very limited Wolverine cowl makers or helmets.
Right.
And the ones that exist, they didn't make a design that looked or resembled as close as I wanted it to be for that mm-hmm. specific suit. I wanted to, instead of painting a cowl, painting urethane is a bitch.
Right.
So I wanted to make it look like as if it's one piece.
Ah, gotcha.
Wolverine in the comics, usually he's like, you know, you always see Flash, Batman, and other mm-hmm. people that wear cows. He could literally pull it off and you would see it hanging in the back. I have a lot of Wolverine action figures that have that feature. I wanted to cover it with the same fabric. So the maker of the bodysuit, I asked him, hey, could you send me two different sheets of the different fabrics, like one of the black and one of the yellow, so I can
Gaslight on this one, right?
Yes, it's Gaslight. Right. I told him, hey, my idea is that I wanted to cover the cow with the fabric. He said, oh, sure, go ahead. I remember it was one time that the power went out in the whole island. So I put on a candle and then I got a hand stitch needle and I started sewing the fabric don't think I have that cowl laying around anywhere near right now, and I can't show it, but you can see in the pictures that the yellow on the on the mask, matches the same texture and yellow on the rest of the suit. So
I'm zooming up on it right now, I can tell.
And that was one of the things that in my mind it made sense, and I did not expect it to come out as good as it did.
Cyclops, I know how you feel about it, Wolverine, but you know nothing, little man.
For the brown and gold version, you touched on it a little bit, but the brown and gold version of your Wolverine cosplay, you actually kind of piece this thing together yourself. And I don't just mean like gathering. I mean, the base suit is attributed to you yourself. So can you kind of walk us through the process of putting this version together, like what you did and then what you gathered from others and what it took to kind of bring it from idea to physical reality? Because it's such a job well done, dude.
Oh, man, I really appreciate those words.
Yeah.
So I wanted to take my time and I wanted it to look genuine. And it was very hard to mix the stretchy fabric and the pleather, the brown pleather. I traced my torso onto the pleather. I cut it out, stripped the fabric. If anything, I was basing it off of the cartoon that I mentioned, the Ultimate Spider-Man version.
Yeah,
I remember I had like a separation in here. Because it would have been a pain in the ass to move your shoulders, given if it was one piece. And I said, oh, shit, no, it's better to stretch it out, make this one piece, sew it on top. Like, I remember this, it has like a little V shape. At the first cut that I made, the piece looked a little too thin. Like, it looked like I just had a brown stripe going down my torso. And I said, nah, he looks like he goes in a hourglass shape.
Yeah, it goes, yeah.
Exactly. So I just cut out another piece, made another side to match it, sewed it onto the suit. It had little details that made the suit look a little bit modern, but didn't take away from the classic look.
Yeah, definitely.
The cow from
Reeves Effects, right.
The most beautiful cow that I've ever had. Yeah, the awesome. Belt.
I like the detail in the brow right there on the cow and everything too. Yeah,
I've seen that cow coming brand new, looks beautiful as is, but I'm a firm believer, if you can weather anything and everything, and it makes it look a little bit more genuine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I just added a little bit with I don't remember if it was with the airbrush at that moment or if it was just regular acrylic black wash paint, and I just wiped it off, and that was the residue that was left. But that cow was beautiful. Yeah.
you know, you're speaking on like creating these cosplays and doing everything. And when it comes to creating cosplays yourself, it doesn't necessarily stop with Wolverine, as you've, you got a few others that you've done yourself as well, such as your Blue Beetle. And I mean, the photos that are up on the screen right now, man, these are absolutely amazing. These wonderful close-up shots of the helmet by Ace Labs. I mean, my God, dude, it's just beautiful photography, just illuminating the effort that you put into the cosplay itself that much more from his photography. And we got to showcase a little bit more of the full body as well, where you can see the legs and everything going up and wrapping around the waist, the ab line and all that. Adam Rickard photography on the shots for this one. And then keeping with DC, as we highlight your Flash as well, man. Classic Flash pose here, smile and all, Ace Laps on the capture, to the Ryan Sims photography one at Dragon Con. I recognize that background, man. At Dragon Con, highlighting you absolutely perfectly, dude. When it comes to creating cosplays, like on the creation side of things, how long did something like The Flash and or Blue Beetle take you in comparison to like something like Wolverine? Like, what's the process of putting these together, and how is it handled differently than Wolverine?
Wolverine was a lot easier. Wolverine was like, I just wanted to copy, not my vision, but Wolverine's creator's vision, or at least what I like. From Wolverine, I wanted to embody that. Like, I have a certain respect for the character, and I wanted it to be seen that way.
Yeah.
So if I had bulky, I mean, yeah, I don't want to jerk myself off, but I had bulky arms, and I wanted to show that off. Yeah. I would wear Wolverine with the sleeveless versions, like the one, the blue and yellow one. Now, come Blue Beetle. So a friend of mine, a previous cosplay of the week, Obi Arkham. He's the one that pushed me.
Shout out to Obi.
Yes, he pushed me all the way, man. Telling me, oh, you should make a Blue Beetle. You should make a Blue Beetle. But the movie wasn't even announced.
Yeah.
Like, he was saying it, like, I don't know, maybe a year and a half before. Mm-hmm. And we were more, at least I was focused more on the Injustice 2 version that came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. It was more... not more armored, but it was more extravagant. It had a lot of detail. It was way too complicated. And I was, the whole time I was saying to myself, like, man, the only two versions that I know of Blue Beetle that I actually like are the one from Injustice and the one from Young Justice. Mm. Like, he came out on the animated version.
Yeah.
And to me, it looked like something impossible. Like, it was very, very hard to do. But I found the fabric. I mean, I found the Scuba Hex, the hexagon pattern fabric that I used for the bodysuit. Mm-hmm. And I went away with that, like the whole chest. Mm-hmm. The first version that I made, at least, it had a chest. It had, I know I wanted gauntlets. Mm-hmm. The scarab, I wanted to go crazy. And it was very, very hard to design or come up with it in a way that it would look not human made.
Right.
So I did that version. I wasn't exactly happy with it, but there wasn't a lot of Blue Beetle cosplayers at the moment.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, the movie, there wasn't even a trailer or a teaser. I don't think there was any even... I mean, there had to be screenshots because the helmet, that's another thing. I wanted to do the Injustice 2 version and I wanted to be able to take out the faceplate. And I couldn't pull it off. The 3D file that I found had the lips on the design and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't pull it off. So
it looks amazing, though. I mean, what, if I may ask real quick, since we're talking about it, what is it made out of? What did you end up making it out of?
That was when I got my first 3D printer, and there was a very, very early STL file for the 3D printers that came out. Like, somebody that saw behind-the-scenes shots of the movie costume, they went ahead as fast as shit and they made the file. So I said, I'll just made it out. Use that version on my version of the suit.
Yeah.
It didn't come out like I wanted it to be at the moment, but what can I say? You learn from your mistakes.
Right. So, and then working with Ace Labs, though, these shots that I'm looking at again, it just really accentuates your work as well. Labs, like, you guys make a great team, you know what I mean?
He is a visual artist. Like,
100%.
I can go, like, I've worked with him a couple times, and at this point, I don't even maybe I just find, I just search for a couple, maybe 10 or 5 reference pictures of a character that I might want to take a photo shoot with him.
Right.
And I will go like, hey, maybe this is the vibe that I want to go with. And he'll be like, gotcha. And dude, he has this eye that I literally can't.
Yeah.
At the moment, to me, it looks to me like, I don't think this is going to be a good picture or not.
Right.
Like, in those Blue Beetle shots, he got so close to me. And I was like wondering, are you going to be able to see my eye through the eye lens?
Oh, yeah, through the lenses, right. Yeah, yeah, because he's so close.
Barely you could even see that. And you can't see at the moment when he's taking the pictures, the whole flashes of the colors and all that. That's not something that I can visualize. Right. That's something, that's all him. I gotta give it to him.
Yeah, no, he's phenomenal work. It's phenomenal work, dude. And then I gotta move over to the Flash, man. It's so amazing, dude. From the helmet and everything with the what are the things called again? I forgot what.
Those are wings.
Is the wings? There we go. I always forget what they're called for some reason.
He has different versions, but for that, I wanted to go represent John Wesley Sheep's version.
Okay, yeah,
The 90s version of the Flash, and he had long wings.
Yeah,
that's what I went with.
It's awesome, dude. Everything, and it does have similarities. I noticed from Blue Beetle, such as like you know the chest, the shoulders, the fabric that you did.
Oh yes,
I love the belt as well, dude. The Flash belt is amazing.
That's actually pretty fun. I mean, that's a fun fact that I wanted to let it be known. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I learned. A way to attach armor pieces to bodysuits like that. Yeah, yeah. So, in the Star Wars group that I'm in, the charity group, I'm in the 501st, they showed me this, the snaps. They were like push snaps. I don't know if I have anything to show an example. Okay, I have a Flash piece. So this is behind.
Oh, nice.
This is the Flash chest piece, if anybody can see.
Yeah.
So I have this pieces, like anybody should be able to recognize them now.
Right.
If you're into cosplay and whatnot. So I added those, the other sides of those snaps onto the bodysuit.
Yeah.
And so then I just go
connect,
attach easily. It like plop, plop, plop.
Yeah.
And they're attached, free to go. I could wiggle, I could dance, I could jump, I could do anything.
Nice.
And those things would not come off.
Yeah.
So I tried that with the first Blue Beetle. It was perfect. Nothing fell off at the convent, at MegaCon. Nothing swiveled, nothing was out of place.
Right.
That's a lifesaver right there. And that's a tip that I wanted to show a lot of whoever was planning on doing anything like that. A lot of people use Velcro. It's good. Like it's not bad. It's
Velcro wears and tears over time too. And
Velcro wears and tears over time
as well. Yeah.
And the pieces, if it's too heavy, it's going to fall off.
Exactly.
Not with those snaps. Like I chef's kiss.
That's cool as hell. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. So after Blue Beetle, I kept slimming down on the weight, and I realized like there's more conventions that we're going to, and a lot of my old suits, Wolverine suits, they don't fit me anymore. It was hard.
Yeah.
So I tried to figure out, hey, what costumes can I make? So one of the things that I did the most to lose weight was actually running. I started running. I'm in the army. They make us run a lot.
Yeah.
So I figured like, shit, I run every single day. I started to visualize like that's my superpower.
Yeah.
So I started relating to the Flash. I don't know. It's a cheesy ass way.
No. It's a story though, man. It's what happened.
And then I figured, okay, which is the best version that I can make out of Flash? I remember this old intro for DC Universe Online. The MMORPG, the video game.
Yes, yes.
Where the superheroes are having their asses kicked, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, dude. Yes. That's a great cinematic still to this day, dude.
Dude, it is
by
far my favorite.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, every single version that's shown there, Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, to me, that's the perfect iteration.
Yeah.
There's Green Lantern, Black Adam. I remember there's Deathstroke, Joker.
Yep.
And then there's Flash. And I remember when that came out, I looked at Flash and I go like, damn, that's not just a guy in spandex. That's a full-on superhero costume.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. And I used the same formula that I used for the Blue Beetle. Spandex bodysuit that I sewed myself. I got the fabric, sewed it to my size and all that. And then I attached the snaps, like for the chest, for the shoulders, Flash had gauntlets. The belt that one was made out of urethane from Ryan Eaton Creations. And then the boots, that's one thing that not a lot of people make, either golden or yellow boots.
Yeah.
I don't have the boots fully, but I do have what I use as a base. I got these yellow sneakers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They had the yellow soles. And what I did is I just made out of pleather shin guards.
Right. Yeah, I see that.
I mean, shin guards would be the armor. So that would simulate that I'm wearing a full-on one-piece boot. And I just attach armor pieces onto it to make it look a little bit more armored.
I love it. Same thing with the wings and everything. It's another job well done, dude. You know, one after another, from all the Wolverines to the Blue Beetle to the Flash and everything in between. It's just it's a job well done, dude. I gotta ask you, like, what's your behind the scenes on choosing to create and not to create? How do you go about that? Is it like knowing your level of craftsmanship? You know, are there times where you take on a project and hope for the best, you know, surprise yourself maybe, or maybe realize that it's out of your wheelhouse of ability? And like, you know, have you ever failed creating something and moved on? Like, what's the breakdown on choosing that? Because you have Wolverine that you did, but then you have some Wolverines that you didn't do, you know, then you have the Blue Beetle, the Flash, and so on and so forth. Like, how do you go about choosing what you're going to do as opposed to just like purchasing something?
Wow. That's actually a tough question, because at first I would be all in with, oh, I can make it myself. And if I don't know how to make it, I'll learn how to make it.
Yeah.
And that has been a rule for me ever since I started getting into this cosplay thing. I've started realizing that a lot of things that I could make, I could trust somebody else to do them better. Mm. Like I wouldn't have to go through the stress of making a bodysuit. Yeah. And having one arm, I don't know, like if it's tighter, I could tighten the other one with a sewing machine. I could fix a lot of stuff. I could modify a lot. I enjoy a lot more modifying something than making something out of scratch.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust myself. Yeah. Genuinely, yeah. I don't trust myself to make something that would please my need. Or my OCD. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Just the way that you want it to look, right? The way need it to look, the way you want to portray yourself in said cosplay. Yeah.
And I wanted that to be very specific with the Alex Ross Wolverine that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I didn't trust myself. Like I said, if I make this myself, one tiger stripe, it's going to look way bigger than the other.
Or if it's not like symmetrical.
There's always something that only I would know. But it would just piss you off.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, dude. Have you ever worked on something and failed on it? You know, because like not a lot of people talk about those sides of the stories.
Constantly.
Like, have you done something and failed and been like, damn it, you know, but or just moved on or
there's a lot
whatever
of things,
the case may be.
There's a lot of things that I would feel that I did and all my friends would be like, nah, man, you didn't fail. Oh, that looked cool. But I know it doesn't look to my standards.
Yeah.
I mean, I did an Ant-Man version. I wanted to do the Civil War when that movie was coming out. Yeah, I failed miserably on that. And I didn't know how to sew very properly back then. There's been Robin suits that nobody has ever seen before because I don't dare upload any pictures
didn't
of
like,
it.
Didn't like the way it came out.
No, no, man.
Yeah, no, it's a piece of art to do the things that you guys do and to create things, whether it's from scratch or whether it's, you know, purchasing, you know, some of it, half of it, a portion of it, or, you know, purchasing something from somebody else and they're working on it. Either way, it's somebody working on it. It takes a lot to it. There's going to be those trial and error moments. You know what I mean? There's going to be those trial and error moments. I think you succeeded with something like the Flash and Blue Beetle, but only you know the you know, behind the scenes stories of, this didn't work, this did work, and how long it took you and all the whole process that you have to go through. But I think the message there is definitely for anybody that's trying anything, starting something, or even seasoned people, is there's gonna be failures, there's gonna be success, and there's gonna be everything in
definitely.
Between.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I want to talk to you more about some stuff, and we're going to. But before we do that, let's break up the monotony and let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week. And this week's Cosplay of the Week is a double whammy, and it's none other than
Azu, Kazu, and that subscriber guy. And I'm throwing it up on the screen right about now. And look at this, man. It is, and they actually happen to be married as well. And this is, I don't know if they want their names out there. I think that subscriber guy's name is up there, but I don't think Azukazu, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, I don't think Azukazu's name is on her Instagram, so I don't know. I tread lightly when it comes to this because there's some people out there, Bat Mateo is one of them, that doesn't want any of his personal information out there, so now I tread lightly these days. But that's Azukazu, and that subscriber guy is Riddler and Poison Ivy, and this is absolutely awesome, man, from head to toe. Let me zoom up here for myself. That subscriber guy, I love everything about it, man. From the question marks all over the robe and everything, dude, to everything you've got hanging down with the beads and everything. And the, oh man, what would that be called? Like the trident, I guess you'd call it. Correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. The trident, everything, all the way from the hat, the mask, everything, dude. And then Poison Ivy with the parasol umbrella thing, the clothing that you've got that's like, oh, I'm trying to zoom up here. Yeah, like all like the leaves and the plant life and everything just going all around it. It's just such a, and you guys complement each other so perfectly. Hold on, I lost my place. God damn it. Lost my place. You guys compliment each other so beautifully, man. And the image, the photo is by ZDB Images on Instagram. And for the Riddler, the outfit is by Zoe Wolf. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Z-O-E-V-O-L-F, Zoe, Zoe Wolf. And the mask is by GC5FX. The staff file is by Visage Art Productions. I've shouted them out before. Staff is the staff, the printed version is by J&K Props. And the contacts are by Moco Queen. Poison Ivy outfit is by Zoe Wolf as well, and the umbrella is by that subscriber guy himself. And I want to throw up another one up on the screen, and this is of their Black Cat and Spider-Man. Absolutely awesome. At I believe this was at this past year's Dragon Con. I believe it was in the garage where we all shot a bunch of stuff together, I think. I think this was a different night than when I shot them with the Harley stuff, if anybody had seen that on Instagram. But just once again, compliment each other perfectly. It's always awesome when you have couples that are able to do like these couple-like cosplays together and portray these like comic book relationships. And I'm gonna throw up another one up on the screen right now. I want to give some solo shine to each of them. Azukazu here with Wins on the edit, mark.overcash.photography on the photo, and this is of her Raven. Absolutely amazing. I love everything about this, from the edit and everything, the way the stance, just it's amazing. And I'm speeding it up because we got so many to go through here since I'm doing a double whammy. And then I want to give that subscriber guy some love as well. I'm throwing up his Robin. You make an absolutely amazing Robin, man. Wins .1998 on the edit as well, and Azukazu herself on the photo for that subscriber guy. And he says, let's hear, he's got a lot written here, and I don't want to waste everybody's time. If you want to go read everything that he wrote, you can go check it out. But Jay Curtis did the mask, Unmasked Studios for the suit, Red Sin Designs on the emblem, Ninko Creations for the boots, and then of course he credits Wins for the edit and Moco Queen for the white mesh contacts. You make an amazing Robin, dude. I saw it in person. I got to do some video for you as your Robin, as well as Azukazu as for her Harley. These are all equally amazing. I love everything about all of them, man. It has been a long time coming to have you guys be the cosplayer of the week. And for those that are just watching this on Instagram as the clip and not watching the full episode, we have Ecto Titan here as a guest this week, also a previous cosplayer of the week. Before we wrap up this segment, man, is there anything that you'd like to add about any of their cosplays?
I've actually met them in person for last MegaCon when I tried out the second version of my Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
Dude, they're beautiful people. They're so humble. Oh, yeah, man. They're amazing. 100%,
yeah.
I didn't actually, like, I might have known them from Instagram, but usually the people that I get to meet are from knowing either Obi Arkham or Season right. Big Bird, that fucking dick. But yeah, it was in
the previous cosplay of the week and guest.
But yeah, it was a real pleasure to meet that subscriber guy and Azukazu, like you mentioned. Yeah. And I really got to point out, and I don't think that I've ever told them before, but I really, 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 really love Azukazu's Harley Quinn.
Yes.
And that subscriber's guy, I was about to say his name, but I don't know. Right?
His name's on his Instagram. So
exactly.
It's not, his name's on his Instagram.
Just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I really love this Robin. He looks like
amazing.
like a beat up version of Robin. Like he's tired of shit and he's about to be fucking, I don't know, Red Hood or whichever version that he's doing.
Yeah, he's got that look for it. Like it looks amazing, man. I dig it. If you guys aren't following that subscriber guy on Instagram, spelled exactly how it sounds, in Azukazu, Asukauzu on Instagram, go do it right now, because Azukazu and that subscriber guy, we got to name all of them. Azukazu and that subscriber guy, your Riddler, Poison Ivy, Black Cat, Spider-Man, Raven, and Robin, cosplay of the week for me and Ecto Titan is amazing. before we start talking a little bit more about your cosplays and we start wrapping this up, I wanna get into something real quick. I wanna do a segment that I like to call Shotgun Questions. And this segment is supposed to be, this segment is supposed to be a little bit more of a rapid fire segment. It's like three to four questions. Some guests know that it's coming. Some guests don't know that it's coming at all. Some know that it's coming and they don't know when it's coming. But it's here right now and it's usually rapid fire, like I said, but it never ends up being that rapid fire, and that's okay. So I got 3 to 4 questions for you. We'll see how we're doing on time. You're a Spider-Man fan. You have a choice. You got a choice to bring back either Toby or Andrew for one last solo film, Spider-Man 4 or The Amazing Spider-Man 3. You can only choose one. Which do you choose and why?
I would bring back Andrew for him to finish his Spider-Man story.
Yeah.
Because to me, Toby, he made his third film. Like, he doesn't need to finish off his story. I feel pretty comfortable the way it was left off. And Andrew, man, we left him at a bad point. Pretty fucking hard.
I know.
So, yeah, very easily, I would say Andrew all the way.
Yeah, I agree with you. That would be my pick as well. You are also a Batman fan, a DC fan. You cosplay as Robin. Out of these Batmen, you've got Keaton, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson. You can only choose one, and the rest and their universe cease to exist.
Oh, this is something that I've actually talked a lot with my friends.
Who do you pick?
Man, I personally would pick Ben Affleck.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Obi's gonna kill me. His favorite his favorite movie is Batman Forever. Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer.
Oh shit! No way, really?
Yes.
I don't hear that very often.
It's a real.
I gotta go back and watch those.
Yes.
Like the old, the one, like the George Clooney ones, the Val Kilmer one. Like,
yes.
I gotta go back and give
those
a chance.
I love them more now as an adult.
I hear that from so many people.
But as a kid, you don't really get to appreciate the movies. And what Joel Schumacher did was he was trying to bring up a comic book to life.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that you would usually get done. And he did the fucking bat nipples, man. But other than that, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And Obi
agrees. From what I remember certain things. I got to go back and give those another chance. I hear a lot of people say that, man.
Yes. Also, Pattinson's a really good Batman. Yeah. Not a lot of people, like, as soon as I saw the movie the first time, I realized not a lot of people are going to like this movie.
Oh, same. I knew right away when I was watching it.
It was pretty long, and it's not the jumpy explosion. I mean,
it's slower than any other Batman film.
It's a slow story for Batman. But that's what Batman is. Yeah. He's a fucking detective. The world's greatest detective,
in fact. And this movie is more showcasing the detective side than previous movies as well.
Oh, it does beautifully. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. But my favorite version is Ben Affleck's.
If you could time travel, this would be the last one. If you can time travel to any time period, any era, where would you go and why? And you can have up to 3 different choices if you want 3.
I would have liked to be born in late 70s so I could enjoy the 80s as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Growing up in the 80s as a kid. Make it like kind of a teenager, young adult in the 90s.
Exactly. Yeah. And go through all that. I wasn't born. I was born in like 96. I'm 27 now. All I see from the movies and shows, it looked like it would have been pretty cool to go through all that. Like watching Batman the Keaton Batman on the first time on the movie theater, watching real Ghostbusters in Saturday morning cartoons. I didn't get to see
Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
Oh, dude, that would have been breathtaking. I assume.
Yeah. That's one of my dad's favorites. That was his era. So he watched Star Wars for the first time, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people.
He said
that era.
It was like nothing he's ever seen at the time. You know what I mean? Imagine that feeling. I don't know what that feeling's like.
I only saw, like, pretty recently, I saw Return of the Jedi because it was the 40th anniversary and I had goosebumps.
Yeah.
But like, I had seen the movie before. It's not the same feeling, but it was pretty good. So
I feel that.
I will go definitely the 80s. I would go,
Hell yeah. You got any other ones or are you sticking with just one?
I mean, if I would go to any other time periods, it would be like in a fantasy situation, maybe. Like I would go be a pirate. I feel like I'd be kick-ass in like a pirate era, like 1800, 1700. I'm not exactly history.
Yeah, I think it's like 1700s, 1800s. I think
I'm not a history geek, but...
Yeah. Watch us both be completely wrong on that. You know what I mean? Someone's going to be like, no, listen, it was 1400s.
Dumbasses. Like, I live in a fucking island. I should know this by now. But
I definitely would, man.
I'm pretty sure I would have kicked ass as being like in a,
not a
pirate. There's another word for it, but let's stick with pirate.
Hell yeah,
then medieval times, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I usually wouldn't have picked that, but pretty recently I've been introduced into this fantasy medieval world by a couple friends, Sergeant Boy and Bonesmith. They've been introducing me to Witcher.
Since
a lot of time ago.
Whew,
And I didn't even give it a thought. Like to me, that was like, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But I gave it a chance this last Dragon Con. We had a blast. And then I just downloaded the game a couple of months ago. And I started playing it, and now I'm super into it.
Yeah,
I can't believe I was a dumbass and didn't get to it before.
Yeah, it's a crazy game. I never even finished it, man. I always go back and try to finish, and then I get lost in life.
It doesn't matter if you finish it. Apparently, there's different endings.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I gotta go back and play that, man. So that wraps up Shotgun Questions. Speaking of Spider-Man, just a few moments ago, we were talking about Spider-Man, and you're killing it with your Spidey cosplays right now, bro. Everything that you're putting out, I mean, just killing it, man. From the photography and the edits as well, such as this one shot by Ryan Sims with Wins on the edit. Web slinging my way through life, the caption says. Oh, I know, right? Wins is incredible, dude. To these awesome ones of you crawling on the side of the building with Ryan and Wins on the photo and the edit again. It's just perfectly done, dude. So what's the deal with the suit, man? Like, who did what? What were you looking for?
Oh,
you know, which iteration? And then break down the webs for me, dude. The webs on the arms, dude. You got to break it down, man. They're physically there, right? Or is it just edits?
Yeah. No, they're physically there.
I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to make that if I did a Spider-Man version. Like any Spider-Man. So the story with Spider-Man was, I mentioned it before. I slimmed down most of the old cosplays. They didn't fit anymore. And I realized what's an easy, well, not easy, but what's a good costume that will fit my body type? I wanted actually to do the Ultimate Spider-Man. It's the same cartoon that I mentioned in the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, with the Wolverine in that version. Yeah.
So that version of Spider-Man, it was just like any other cartoon version. But that one had one significant detail. His red part of the costume, like it would end up at the shoulders. And it would be a bicep, blue forearm, and then a red in the gauntlet. Like I didn't want to have that red line in the side of the arm. Because I don't have long arms. And to me, that would make me look a little bit short, maybe.
Right.
I don't know
what you're saying. Yeah.
It was just personal thing. So I wanted to do that version. But Dragon Con was coming up and I said, shit, what should I do? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure if I make the whole custom suit by process, ordering it from one of those Sentai generic pages, it would take. So I got into Facebook and there's a couple things that I found in different cosplay sell, buy, sell, trade pages. And there's this guy that I didn't know, but in Instagram, I was following him and he was following me. And he posted a costume Spider-Man that he was selling because he's going through the exact opposite. I'm slimming down and he's bulking up.
Okay.
So this gentleman goes by HS Cosplay. Mm-hmm. He's from UK.
Okay.
And he was posting this costume that he was selling. And I saw the measurements and I go like, that might work for me.
Nice.
And like I mentioned before, a small detail, I prefer modifying something than making it out of scratch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went ahead. I wrote to the guy. Hey, like, hey, is this still up for sale? He goes, yeah. And it's that suit that you see over there.
Nice.
Only that it was his design. Mm. That was a fact. I did not know. I could have sworn it was like an Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Universe Spider-Man or something.
So that suit is his custom design?
It's his costume design. He made it with, like, he asked somebody, like, the pattern.
Uh-huh.
He asked somebody to make it. He gave me the name. I genuinely don't remember. All I did, I just trimmed it. Mm-hmm. I cut the gloves off and I sewed him shorter for my length.
Right.
I added the wings, the web wings. I just got a mesh type of fabric and I sewed it onto the armpit area.
Sick,
and last thing I did, I added the puff paint.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that I loved about Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Like the layer of the webs.
Yes, yes, on the suit.
Like you would see the web is something that stood out. And I wanted to project that. And I don't know, it stuck with me. And I would just, I just gave it a shot. I added the puff paint. It worked beautiful for Dragon Con, for the picture that I took with Ryan.
Right.
I can't stress it enough.
It's phenomenal, man. I just love everything about it, dude. And something that I also love that you did here is your collaboration with Ryan Sims Photography and Wins on one of these edits to bring Wins to life this story, this storytelling battle between you and cosplayer I Weirded as Hobgoblin.
Ooh,
dude.
Oh,
these
are
fucking amazing, dude. These are phenomenal from every aspect, dude. A job well done on everyone's part, man. You guys are colliding atop the high rises, or rather in between the high rises, mid-air of New York, smoke everywhere, goblin on the glider, dude. And then you've got another one to where you're like fighting a little bit more out in the open of what looks like maybe above the city streets, and you see the bombs being thrown by Hobgoblin. It's a little, those little details of the webs coming out for your Spidey as well, all the way to the ending that is literally ripped straight out of a Spider-Man comic cover of you carrying a defeated goblin as you swing through the
amazing
city,
fantasy
dude.
Cover.
Yes, man.
Yes.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man brought to life, man. How did this come about? And was the plan always to tell this kind of like three-part story that you guys did on Instagram? Like, what are the details behind creating this?
I didn't even think that was a three-part story. Now that
Like on the post, if you look on Instagram, it's like the one of you guys fighting at first, and then it goes to the ones with all the bombs being thrown around.
It actually does.
You
make
know what
sense.
I mean? Yeah, it kind of tells the story, and then the end result is you carrying him, you know, swinging through the city. It's almost like it's a three-part story. You know what I mean? And I dig that. So what are the details behind pulling that all together?
So the two that I'm fighting, Hobgoblin. Mm-hmm. That was all Ryan Sims' ideas.
Crazy,
like,
man.
Like, as the same that I mentioned before that I do with Ace Labs, like, I trust him
completely
with the art. He's the artist. I just bring the suits.
Right.
And I go like, man, if you got any ideas, anything that you want to knock off or that you haven't done and you've wanted to do with this character, given an edit or something.
Right.
Go, by all means.
Make it happen. Yeah.
As we were taking pictures, like, we were taking pretty basic. I just wanted to do a lot of web swinging Spider-Man poses that you wouldn't see regularly.
Yeah.
And then I Weird Ed, he's my brother. He's my older brother.
Oh, okay.
He's not a common cosplayer. He's not that active in his Instagram page, but he's aware. And I'm going to send him this episode so he can know.
Hell yeah.
That he was mentioned. But yeah, I made the Hobgoblin suit for him.
I was going to ask that too. I was going to ask
whole,
like, how did that come about as well? Him being Hobgoblin, but tell the whole thing. Yeah. Go through it, man.
Yeah. Well, so there's a local friend that had 3D printed the Green Goblin mask and I don't know. It always caught my attention. And then Dragon Con was coming up. My brother said that he wanted to go. So we go, and he doesn't have any cosplays to go with. Mm-hmm. So I said, I have a friend that's selling the 3D printed Green Goblin mask. We can make a pretty fast, pretty easy Hobgoblin version. Hobgoblin? Because I don't know. I like Hobgoblin a lot more.
I was
going
to ask that too. Why Hobgoblin? You know, which I like it, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan that you guys did Hobgoblin as opposed to Green Goblin.
Yes.
But I'm curious, why Hobgoblin? Like, what? Why?
Well, to me, it's more of the mystery. I mean, it's not a mystery if you've read most of the comics, but to me, I actually haven't gotten the chance to do so. Mm-hmm. And I remember Hobgoblin from the 90s Spider-Man animated TV show. Like, you would see him before you would see Green Goblin.
Right. I thought I was the only one that remembered that. I swear when I was a kid, there was so much more Hobgoblin, bro.
Yes.
And then now it's like all Green Goblin.
it's one thing that stood out for me. And I don't know. And my brother's a very fan of very obscure characters. And
he
liked the idea. Yeah. So we went, the idea was greenlit. So we went ahead and we went to the photo shoot. Ryan was the one that he was searching through his phone, like,
oh, for like references.
Yeah, he would be searching for references and he would be like, oh, this is sick. He showed me a picture. It was Miles Morales fighting Hobgoblin.
Okay.
And it was pretty much that exact. Oh, dude, it was pretty freaking close to that iteration that he made. He edited that picture. That has been my favorite.
Yeah, it's amazing, dude.
Picture that I have ever taken in any cosplay, edit, you name it.
Yeah.
Like, that has been my best accomplishment.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. To me, personally.
It's phenomenal, man. And you even said that the one where you're carrying Hobgoblin, it's from a Amazing Fantasy issue.
Yes. That's another one.
It's a dream shot for you, right?
Yes. That one, I actually, as soon as the idea of me doing a Spider-Man, that was the one thing that I wanted to do. I want to make the Amazing Fantasy cover. And
bro, you pulled it off, dude. The pose and everything, man. You pulled it off.
That was another reason why I wanted to have the wet wings. He has them on that cover. And I go like, he had them on that cover. So I need to have them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fucking amazing, dude. Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome, Dad. These are some of my favorites of yours as well, dude. And I just love the fact that you did the webs, dude. I personally, I'm sure, I don't know every cosplayer in the world. I'm sure somebody has done it, but I haven't seen anybody do it. I personally haven't seen anybody. So you're the first one that I saw do it and you pulled it off amazing, dude.
The first attempt that I did, to me, I said like, maybe they look too big. Like it would look like he's gliding all the time. And then I had to took it out, sew them again a little bit smaller. And to me, I think those ones that I have on those pictures, they worked out pretty well.
Yeah, 100%.
And I did that entirely, genuinely, because when I was a kid, and my brother as well, we had Spider-Man pajamas. And those pajamas had those wings. And I remember as a kid, that was the only time that I saw those wings. Like, I didn't get to see it on the 90s TV show. Yeah. I didn't get to see it in any of the versions of the comic books or the video games that I got the chance to witness as I was growing up. And that stuck with me. Like, why would those pajamas have that fucking mesh thing? It was black. Yeah. And it stuck with me. And then I started looking for references for the Spider-Man. I saw the Amazing Fantasy cover and I realized, he actually had them on the first, on that
the
cover.
His first introduction.
I gotta pay tribute to that. It was something that I had on my childhood. For some reason, it just stuck with me. I can't explain it, but it did.
Well, and I'm glad it did because it came out flawlessly, man. It came out so beautifully, dude. We are gonna get out of here, dude. I want to thank you so much for being here, man. It's been absolutely awesome, dude. Definitely welcome you back next year. We'll do like something else. We'll have a good time. Before we leave, though, is there anything that you want to say? I want to give the floor to you to say whatever it is that you want to say. Plug whatever you want to plug. You know, shout out anybody you want to shout out. Whatever's on your mind, and then let people know where they can find you as well.
Sure thing. It's an honor to be here. First things first. I don't feel like I deserve to be here.
No, you do.
a lot of badass guests here.
Thank you, man.
And I don't know, it's an honor. It's genuinely, honor.
100%.
I want to shout out Season Vicberg. He's a pain in my ass. Obi Arkham, he's one of my, one of my bros. So is Phone Smith. I don't think you've mentioned or seen much of him, but
I think I've mentioned him from other people's stuff.
But he's a very close friend of mine, and I really appreciate those people.
Shout out to him. I think we talked before too.
Yeah,
I think so.
And a lot of people that I actually got to meet during DragonCon, like I said before, I'm not that much. I mean, I'm shy. I don't get to meet a lot of people by myself. Most of the people that I know in the cosplay community are either because they know Obi Arkham or they know Season Vicberg or whoever. Yeah. So I got to meet last year a lot of people, Paper Moon Cosplay, pretty familiar with her. So Paper Moon, shout out to her. Shout out to Raymond, to Jose. It's one of the, I've met very few people, but those that I have met, I met Caleb Wicks last DragonCon.
Almost everybody you mentioned has been on this show as well.
Exactly.
And if they haven't, they were cosplays people of the week. Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to all of them. And like I said, I really appreciate the invitation to be here, man.
Of course, man.
It's not something that I get to do every day.
It should have happened a long time ago, but I'm actually glad that it happened when it did, because we got to talk about the Spider-Man stuff. You know what I mean?
And
That was awesome, man. If you guys aren't following Ecto Titan, go follow him right now on Instagram at Ecto Titan. There's an underscore under that, right? Between that, right?
Ecto underscore. I don't remember if it's an underscore or a hyphen. Either one.
Editing chance, you'll figure it out. So it'll be all right. Go follow him if you are. And thank you so much for coming, man. And to everybody tuning in, thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all those beautiful things that you do over on youtube.com/Side Project Podcast. When you go down, you hit that big red subscribe button, and when you hit it, it goes and you get 100 sexy project points. Thank you for watching and listening on Spotify, as videos are available on Spotify as well. When you follow, when you rate, all those things that you do, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram at IGHateschazzy. That is my personal, and everything else you need to find me at is on the screen right about now. You can't click it, but it'll be in the descriptions, or you can just pull out your phone, you can search it, and boom, there you go. Hit that follow button. If you're looking for the podcast on Instagram as a whole, you can find it at Side Project Podcast. And remember, that's project with a K. For me, for Ecto Titan, we're out of here.